Hebrews chapter number 9. We're looking at the ordinances of divine service of the first covenant. And what we are seeing is that they were types of what would come eventually. Chapter 9 continues the section in the book of Hebrews, which began in 8:1 and extends through 10:18, where Christ is seen as the mediator of a better covenant. In verses 1 through 10, which we'll be looking at this evening, it is seen that the ordinances of divine service were types of what would come later on. A type is a divinely prefigured illustration of a spiritual truth. Then, beginning next week, in the verses 11 through 28, it will be shown that the types of the first covenant were fulfilled by the offering of Christ's blood in the heavenly sanctuary. In verse 1, we see that the first covenant had regulations for divine worship and an earthly sanctuary. In verses 2 through 5, we see a description of this earthly tabernacle constructed by Moses. And in verses 6 and 7, we see a description of the divine service performed by the priests. In verses 8 through 10, we see that the Holy Spirit used this pattern of worship in the early earthly sanctuary in order to show that the way into the presence of God was not yet made known. This old system of worship, which was not able to cleanse the conscience, would remain in force until the law would be brought to an end with the crucifixion of Christ. In verse 1, we see that the first covenant had regulations for divine worship and an earthly sanctuary. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Then draws an inference, and it's used in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or so. Verily suggests, indeed, the first covenant was the Mosaic law. The tense of had indicates continuing action in past time and implies was having. Also suggests something else found under the law. Ordinances of divine service are regulations, requirements, or commandments of worship or of service. Consequently, it is a worship of God. Ordinances of divine service or regulations of worship indicate that proper procedures were given for the worship of God in the tabernacle. Not only did the first covenant have ordinances of divine worship or service, but it also had a worldly sanctuary, meaning the earthly sanctuary, in contrast to the heavenly sanctuary. The worldly or earthly sanctuary refers to the tabernacle constructed by Moses, consisting of two compartments or rooms. One was known as the sanctuary or the holy place, and the other one was known as the holiest of all or the holy of holies. In verses 2 through 5, we also see a description of the earthly tabernacle constructed by Moses. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Four is explanatory, it's used in the sense of now. A tabernacle is a fancy word meaning a tent. The first refers to the first compartment or first room of the worldly sanctuary, in contrast to the second compartment or second room known as the Holy of Holies, rather than to the entire tabernacle constructed by Moses. Was made is was furnished or was equipped. Wherein is in which? Within this first room of the tabernacle were found the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. The candlestick is the lampstand. A description of the table is found in Exodus 25, 23 through 28. Now, we're not going to turn to that passage and take the time to read it in this message. This message is already of sufficient length without making it longer. The table was used for the presentation of the showbread, and sometimes it was referred to as the presentation. The showbread is literally the setting forth of the breads, the putting out of the breads, or the presentation of the breads. Every Sabbath, that would be every Saturday, 12 loaves of fresh bread, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 loaves of fresh bread were placed on the table. On the following Sabbath, the following Saturday, 1 week later, these loaves were removed and were subsequently eaten by the priests in the holy place and were also replaced by 12 fresh loaves. If you remember, when David and his men were fleeing from Saul, it is this bread that had been removed from the tabernacle which David and his men were given to eat in 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. And we don't have time to deal with that text either. But you can look it up and read it for yourself. Which is called the sanctuary, refers to this first room in the tabernacle. It is literally which is called holy. When used in the plural, as it is in this verse, it is often translated sanctuary. Only the priests were permitted to enter this room called the sanctuary or the holy place. By contrast, the people were never permitted to enter this sanctuary or this holy place. Verse 3, after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. After the second veil, or after the second curtain, is the second room of the tabernacle. It is called the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies. Is called, suggests, is named. The holiest of all is literally Holy of Holies. It means it is the most holy place. The high priest was the only one who could ever enter the Holy of Holies. And he could only enter it on one day a year, the Day of Atonement, which had the golden censer, verse 4, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, which had is simply having and refers to the Holy of Holies. The golden censer was found within the Holy of Holies. The same word translated censer is sometimes translated altar of incense. Both meanings are possible in this text, but most commentators seem to favor altar of incense. In addition to the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant was also found in the Holy of Holies. It was a box which contained the law, or the covenant, written on two tablets of stone. The ark was carried by the priests with staves or poles. They were not touching it. They carried it by means of poles. The lid of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. This ark was overlaid round about with gold, which suggests that it was covered with gold from all directions. Covered with gold on all sides, or entirely covered with gold. Wherein is in which, and refers to the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the ark was the golden pot that had manna. A pot is a jar. This pot is a golden jar, meaning a jar made of gold or a jar adorned with gold. That had manna indicates that this jar held manna, or that this jar contained manna. In addition to the golden pot that contained the manna, Aaron's rod that budded was found in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we're going to take the time to look at this one, because my guess is that some of you may not be as familiar with this. This is a reference to Aaron's rod or staff that budded in Numbers 17:10. Budded means sprouted. To show that Moses was God's appointed leader, God caused Aaron's rod or his staff to bud. We read about this in Numbers 17:1-10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod or staff, according to the house of their fathers, and all the princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods or 12 staffs. Write thou every man's name upon his rod or his staff. So you're going to have each of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel give his staff to Moses. And they were to have their name written on each staff, so they would know whose it was. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, that's the tribe of Levi. For one rod or staff shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them, meaning these 12 rods or staffs, up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. So you take these 12 rods or 12 staffs, one for each tribe of Israel, and put them in the tabernacle where the Lord will meet with Moses. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod or staff, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. You see, Moses was God's appointed leader of the nation of Israel, but some of the others wanted to be the leader, and they were grumbling against Moses, which isn't terribly unusual. Leaders often have people grumbling about them. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod or a staff apiece. Each one gave him a rod or staff, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods or staffs, and the rod or staff of Aaron was among their rods or staffs. And Moses laid up the rods or staffs before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, that's the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod or staff of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. This is overnight. Well, that must have been an interesting thing. And Moses brought out all the rods or staffs from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod or staff. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod or staff again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. God does not like grumbling. So that's the rod or staff that budded. A third item found in the Ark of the Covenant was the tables of the covenant, which were the tablets of the law. These were two flat stones on which the law, or the first testament, the first covenant, meaning the Ten Commandments, was written. As you will recall, Moses smashed the original tablets, and God instructed him to make others to replace them. These are the replacements. And then verse 5, and over it, meaning over the Ark of the Covenant in which the law was contained, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. The mercy seat was the lid on the Ark of the Covenant. And the cherubim of glory were placed on top of this mercy seat. And over it is, and above it, and refers to the above the Ark of the Covenant. Above the Ark of the Covenant were found the cherubims of glory. Now, cherubim is actually plural for cherub in Hebrew. By adding an S, the translators made this word have two plural endings. We're used to the S. The Hebrew people were used to the IM ending. Of glory may suggest that they were cherubim of glory or of or from God the Father. Or it may suggest that they were glorious cherubim. Both are true. What they were doing is shadowing the mercy seat, or overshadowing the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat is the lid on the Ark of the Covenant. The cherubim were sitting on top of the mercy seat. They are pictured as bending over, staring at the lid of the Ark, or at the mercy seat, which is where the blood would be applied. So they're looking to observe the sacrifice that was made with blood. In addition, the Lord said in Exodus 25:22, and there, meaning between the cherubim, I will meet with thee, And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee, that's you, Moses, in commandment unto the children of Israel. So you have the cherubim observing the blood sacrifice. And you also have, that's the place where the Lord would communicate with Moses. And then he says, after mentioning these things, of which we cannot now speak particularly, it indicates that the writer is going to mention these things, which he has done, and then move on without spending a great deal of time with the detail, of which is concerning which things, or about which things, and refers to the tabernacle and its contents. We cannot now speak particularly, as we can now not speak part by part, or we cannot now speak in detail. There's just not time or space in the book of Hebrews to speak in detail regarding all of these things. To do so would sidetrack the writer from his purpose. Well, we move on into verses 6 and 7, where we see a description of the divine service performed by the priests. Verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now in verses 6 and 7, the writer moves from describing the interior of the Holy of Holies to describing the service performed by the priests in the tabernacle. Verse 6 describes the service in the holy place, meaning in the first room of the tabernacle constructed by Moses, whereas verse 7 describes the service in the Holy of Holies, meaning in the second room. These two rooms were separated by a veil. Now indicates a continuation of the writer's thought. When these things were thus ordained is after these things were thus ordained. Thus suggests in this manner or so. And these things refers to the items found within both the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Were ordained means were furnished or were equipped. Thus, this phrase is understood in the sense of now after these things were equipped in this manner. The priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. It indicates the normal course of events that occurred on a daily basis in which all the ordinary priests took part. The priests suggest all the priests as a general class or group of persons, and is in contrast to the high priest alone in verse 7. Accomplishing the service of God indicates what the priests were doing when they went into this first room of the tabernacle. Went into is actually present tense in the Greek text in the sense of go into or enter, indicating that this was the priest's normal custom. It's what they did all the time. Always is continually or constantly, and implies that there was no limitation on time. They could also enter the holy place as often as was necessary. So every priest could go into this first room in the tabernacle at any time. It is in contrast to once every year in verse 7. into the first tabernacle tells where these priests went. It was within the earthly sanctuary itself, meaning within the tabernacle constructed by Moses, but it was not into the Holy of Holies. The first tabernacle is the first room of the tabernacle constructed by Moses. It's called the sanctuary or the holy place. It was described in verse 2. Accomplishing is understood in the sense of when or while they accomplished or where they accomplished. The priests were completing, performing, or bringing about the service or the worship of God. They were performing their priestly functions in this first tabernacle. This is exactly what Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, was doing in Luke 1, 5 through 23, when the angel Gabriel announced to him the birth of John. Now, the people could not enter this tabernacle at all. Only the priests. And the priests could only go into this first room or compartment in the tabernacle. Then we move into verse 7 and we see something about the second room. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. But indicates that verse 7 is given in contrast to verse 6. Whereas verse 6 stated that what all the priests did on a daily basis, verse 7 states what the high priest did by himself once a year on the Day of Atonement. Into the second means into the second compartment or the second room of the tabernacle or earthly sanctuary, which was constructed by Moses. This second room is known, as we've already seen, as the Holy of Holies or the Holiest of All. Went has been supplied by the translators from verse 6 because no verb is expressed in the Greek text, and it properly completes the thought in English. It suggests goes into or enters. The high priest was the official high priest. He went alone. It may mean that the high priest alone went, indicating that only the high priest went. Or it may mean that the high priest went alone, indicating that the high priest went by himself. Both are true. Every year is annually. Not without blood indicates that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with blood. The blood referred to is the blood of the sacrifice, which he would then sprinkle on the mercy seat. Which he, meaning the high priest, offered refers to the blood which he took with him into the Holy of Holies. And the term offered is the sacrificial term, which means offers or presents. Its present tense in the Greek text indicates that this was the normal custom of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The high priest offers this blood for himself and for the errors of the people. Inasmuch as he himself was a sinner, it was necessary that the high priest first make a blood atonement for his own sins. Then he had to make a blood atonement for the sins of the people. This was in addition to the offering of blood for himself. Errors is the term for ignorance and refers to sins committed in ignorance. So you see what the procedure was. Into that first compartment or room, all the priests could go at any time. But the people who were not priests could never enter that room. Then there was a veil separating that first room from the second room. This second room could only be entered by the high priest, and then only on the Day of Atonement, which was one day out of the year. If other people went in, they might very well not come out alive. There was a fear placed in the people that had a great deal of respect. Some days I'm persuaded that our people have lost respect for the presence of God. Be careful. When you enter the presence of God, be careful how you behave, things you do. Finally, in verses 8 through 10, we see that the Holy Spirit used this pattern of worship in the earthly sanctuary to show that the way into the presence of God was not yet made known. How could the people enter in to the presence of God? They couldn't. The Holy of Holies symbolized the presence of God. And only the high priest, and only one day in the year, could enter into the presence of God. Remember when Jesus was crucified, as soon as he said, "It is finished," what happened over at the temple? The veil separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that the believers could now follow Jesus as their forerunner into the presence of God. In verse 8, the Holy Spirit is credited with showing that the way into the holiest had not yet been made known. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. This was done by the fact that the priests went into the first part of the tabernacle daily, accomplishing the service of God, whereas the high priest alone went into the Holy of Holies once every year with a blood sacrifice, which he then offered. By this, the Holy Spirit was signifying or indicating that the way into the Holy of Holies, that is, that the way into the presence of God was not yet made clear. The Holy Spirit is thereby credited with being the author of Scripture by this statement. Signifying is making clear, revealing, showing, explaining, or indicating. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, is the Holy Spirit indicating this. What he made clear is this. What is this? It is that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The way into the holiest of all is the way into the Holy of Holies, which symbolizes the presence of God, was not yet made manifest, means had not at that time been revealed, had not yet been made known, or had not yet been shown. It also implies, however, that it would one day be made known, would be made manifest, would be revealed, or would be shown. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, is literally the first tabernacle yet having a stand, and suggests while the first tent was yet in existence, and indicates the time during which the way of access into the Holy of Holies was not yet known. Thus, while the first tent existed, it was serving a purpose. It was pointing to something which would occur in the future, but which had not yet occurred. The temple which would eventually replace the tabernacle would still have a standing, or still exist, until the crucifixion of Christ. The people could not pass through the first veil into the sanctuary, meaning into the holy place, and the priests could not pass through the second veil into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could ever pass through the second veil into the Holy of Holies, and he could only do it on an extremely limited basis, once a year on the Day of Atonement. For the people, access into the presence of God did not exist at this time. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which to be sure, and refers to the first tabernacle mentioned in verse 8. It is the tabernacle that had been constructed by Moses in the Old Testament, which is a figure, which is a type, which is a symbol, or which is an illustration. For the time present refers to the time in which the worldly or earthly sanctuary was used. It is literally for the time which was present, or for the time which had come. This time began during the Exodus with the wilderness wanderings and ended with the construction of the temple. The tabernacle constructed by Moses was not in use for some time prior to the construction of the temple, but was probably in use up to the time of Samuel. What was true of the tabernacle would also be true of the temple, in which refers to the time then present rather than to the tabernacle, and suggests in which time. Were offered is understood in the sense of were being offered. Both gifts and sacrifices are two different terms used for offerings. Throughout the period of time during which the tabernacle was standing, sacrifices and offerings were being made, and they continued to be made in connection with the temple until the time that the crucifixion had taken place. They looked forward to the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God, on the cross, which ended their significance as types. Now, the unbelieving Jews, not realizing this, continued offering sacrifices in the temple until AD 70, which is about 40 years after the crucifixion. In AD 70, the temple was destroyed by the Roman armies. Now notice these gifts and sacrifices that could not make perfect refers to the gifts and sacrifices which were being made while the tabernacle was standing, which also continued to be made in connection with the temple, that could not make perfect suggests that could not make complete. Here it is make perfect is as pertaining to the conscience, where conscience refers to someone's moral consciousness. Pertaining to is in accordance with or in reference to. Him that did the service refers to the one serving or the worshiper. Did service is a term used in biblical literature only of carrying out religious duties, and is used in reference to the worshiper who was concerned with the rituals as prescribed by the law. Thus, the ministry of the tabernacle was carried on for a long period of time, but it was carrying on a ministry which could only look forward to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. The same is true of the temple and its ministry. It was never intended to cleanse the conscience and remove the guilt of sin. It was only done in anticipation of something which was coming later. What would come later is Christ as the Lamb of God, dying on the cross to pay in full for the sins of all humanity. Now, we're on this side of the cross. They were looking forward to the cross, but didn't really understand how God was going to do this. We look back and we see how God did it. When we had our sins forgiven, they were forgiven forever. Which stood, verse 10, only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Which stood is in italics in order to indicate that it was supplied by the translators in order to complete the meaning in English. It refers to the gifts and sacrifices from verse 9. Only is an adverb which modifies stood or something else which must be supplied. Thus, which stood only in suggests which relate only to or which are concerned only with. Meats is foods, especially solid foods. Drinks are intended to satisfy thirst. Divers washings is different washings or various washings, where washings is the same term translated baptisms in Hebrews 6:2. Carnal ordinances are fleshly regulations, fleshly requirements, or fleshly commandments. They are commandments that pertain to the flesh in contrast to the conscience. Imposed on them is incumbent on them, where them refers to the people upon whom were laid the meats, drinks, divers washings, and carnal ordinances until the time of Reformation limits the time during which these gifts and sacrifices were operative. Reformation means improvement or new order and refers to the time of the new covenant in contrast to the old covenant. In case you're a student of history, or even if you're not, it has nothing to do with a period of history known as the Reformation. The system of gifts and sacrifices, which included meats, drinks, and various ceremonial washings, were laid on the people as a temporary system until the time the new covenant succeeded it. This temporary system concluded with the crucifixion of Christ. This Reformation will bring about the end of the law and its stipulations pertaining to the flesh. It occurred the instant the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom immediately following the crucifixion of Christ. You're not under the law. The Seventh-day Adventists think they still have to observe certain aspects of the law. The Mormons think that they're under the law. So do lots of others. You are not under the law. You've been delivered to being under the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. As a result of the crucifixion of Christ, believers have instant and immediate access into the presence of God the Father at all times because of their relationship to Christ. We don't have to go through anybody else. We're all first in line every time we come to pray. Your prayers are just as important to God as anybody else's. Doesn't matter who that other person is. You don't have to ask me to pray for you because my prayers are more important in God's sight than yours. That's just not true. You can ask me to pray and I will. But you also can ask the same thing of God, and God can grant your request as well as he can grant mine. You have standing in God's sight because you are a saved person with your sins washed under the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given us of entering into your very presence at all times. Help us, our fathers, to keep our lives clean with our sins confessed and forsaken up to date. We ask that you will meet the needs of our people. Bless them. Thank you for each one of them in Jesus' name. Amen.